several other locations, including Syracuse University, where I taught for 8 years in the biology department, and prior to that, postdoctoral work at various locations in genetics. I've written a book called Coming to Peace with Science, and it's sort of a culmination of my life in biology and also the story of my search for trying to bring my faith, my personal Christian faith, into the context of my life as a scientist. That journey began, that journey of trying to sort out what I believe from the Christian perspective to what I and how it relates to my thinking as a person interested in science goes way back in time. As a young boy growing up, I read the New Testament through when I was about 10 or 11, and found a phrase in there, a verse in Revelation, which talks about the angels coming from all four corners of the earth. And I thought to myself and said to others, how could it be that the Bible would say that there are four corners to the earth? So I approached somebody about that and said, and my faith was very much shaken by that. The Bible has to be the Word of God, so thereby how could this not be right? And spoke to somebody I knew and respected, and that person just kind of threw up their arms and said, that's just what they thought in those days. But that wasn't acceptable to me, because the Bible was God's Word. That was kind of the beginning of what was for me a conflict that has lasted for many years of trying to relate the God of the Bible to science. It continued other times. I thought of all the religions in the world. How did it happen? Because I grew up in a small, tiny church where there, in a part of the world, Western Canada, where there weren't, I didn't hardly know anybody who went to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening and was very involved in the church. I didn't hardly know anybody like that. So I wondered, of all the people, of all the different religions in the world, how did it happen that I just happened to be born into the right one? And so I had lots of doubts, which were continually fueled by what I thought was a conflict between science and religion. I remember when I was in seventh grade, a little bit older, after this other experience, I remember going through the I remember all these charts of human evolution and learning about all these different humans that had these pre-humans that had led to modern humans, and I'll never forget how shaken I was. My faith was shaken by that class. I remember made it though. I did make it, and I made it probably as much as anything by just not thinking about it too much. I don't know how I resolved the situation, but I remember going to our church camp that year and having a couple of other boys in the counseling group, the camp group, and they were a year younger, so they were about to go into seventh grade, and I said, you guys are going to have a really rough seventh grade, because they're going to teach you that God, that all the things you believe about God are not true, and that evolution has taken place. That kind of thing caused me always, whenever I stopped and thought about it, how do I know that I'm right? How do I know my parents are right? I certainly didn't know I was right. How do I know my parents were right? And yet I wanted so much to believe, because it was so beautiful. I loved my family, and I loved my church, and I didn't want to grow up with this conflict. But every now and then, when I was a little bit older, 14 or 15, I remember laying in my bed and in anguish about whether or not there was a God, given this conflict between science and religion, and asking God if he was really real to answer my prayer. And my prayer was that he would just cause the cherry tree leaf that I was looking at out my window to quiver a little bit, to shake a little bit, and that would be God's way of telling me that he was really there. And the cherry tree never quivered, and the cherry leaf, okay? The way I handled it was just to not think about it. And for sure, what I didn't want to do was study biology, because biology just caused me to think about it. And so as I got a little older, I said, I'm going to study chemistry, maybe physics, maybe math, but I'm not going to study biology. it was too much, too great a source of frustration for me. I remember another time where the question about God started occurring in my mind again, given that conflict between science and religion. I remember going down in anguish, really anguish, one Sunday evening after church and saying, God, tell, show me you're real, show me you're real. Because I was finding it difficult to deal with that that conflict between science and religion, and wanted so much, I guess, for it to be true. Anyways, I ended up in biology. Surprise of surprises. I decided partway through I wanted to be a medical doctor. That meant I had to study biology. And then as time went by, I loved biology so much that the biology I took to be a doctor, I said, I don't want to just be a doctor. What I want to do is to spend the rest of my life studying biology. It's so beautiful. The systems, the things that go on inside those single cells are just so amazing. I want to spend the rest of my life studying them. And so I went off into biology and wasn't terribly concerned about the inconsistencies between science and religion. It seemed like increasingly I loved biology. I saw the design that was in biology, and more I just said, it's going to play out somewhere along the line. As the years went by, though, I started to lose my faith, and I lost my faith not so much because of doubts coming from science, but rather because I was so captivated by my career. And so I stopped believing for a period of time, in essence, not for very long, but by stopped believing, I mean I just loved my career so much, and God took the back seat of the car, and for a while probably was out of the car altogether. I felt very much that I wanted to get back. However, after a period of time, life seemed meaningless. I wanted to come back, and eventually knelt down on my knees and prayed and said, Lord, I don't know if you're there. I don't know if you can hear me. I had enough doubts at this point, but nonetheless, I'm going to come back to you on the basis of faith, and because your word, if you're real, says that we can come to you on faith and you'll reveal yourself gradually. So I did. And came back and started attending church to some extent, but not an evangelical church. I felt I could never go back to evangelicalism again, because I believed, for sure, I believed that God was using evolution in some way. As I got deeper and deeper into biology, I believed that God was using evolution in some way. The surprise of my life was that, yes, I did become a Christian and became and took it very seriously, and it was an evangelical faith. The surprise of my life that I found my way into a church that accepted me, even though I believed that God had used the process of evolution in some fashion to create all of life, and perhaps even including humans. Anyway, that church, and the church that accepted me, it made all the difference in the world. After a period of time in that church, I decided I wanted to give the rest of my life to Christian higher education. So I left my position at a research university as a faculty member there, a tenured faculty member, and went into Christian higher ed, and that's where I've spent my career. I've had the privilege over these years of thinking about and working with Christian students, but also Christian faculty members from many different disciplines. We regularly would have lunch together, a number of the theology faculty and a number of the science faculty. So I increasingly learned about how the theologians were thinking by having lunch with them every Monday for a number of years, and not only that, but. And not only that, but when I moved into Christian higher education, I began to, I was much more than a geneticist. When I was teaching in a big research university, I just taught genetics. But now I started teaching microbiology, and I taught comparative anatomy, and I taught cell biology, molecular biology, developmental biology, and so on. And I learned about biology from all sorts of different perspectives. So I was learning a little bit of theology, but I was also learning a whole lot about biology. And that led me to say, led me to explore that interaction between my faith and my biology at a much more sophisticated level than I'd ever been able to do before. Not like, I don't want to say it was really sophisticated, because I was very, very broad too, but nonetheless I was able to, it was more sophisticated, and it was a tremendous privilege to be able to study biology from a very broad set of perspectives, looking at, and it's so clear that in my opinion it was so totally clear that evolution as a process is something that had occurred, but it was also wonderful to be able to explore the theology and to begin to learn from some of my colleagues just how what a wonderful discipline theology is, and to catch little glimpses of what it is like from them, although for sure all I am is just an amateur person at best in terms of my theological knowledge. But it was enough that I was able to kind of try to put it together, and the putting it together is the book Coming to Peace with Science, and I feel very privileged to have been able to be able to have all the experiences that I had that allowed me to kind of tie them into a book which just sort of is like the answer to the question that I was asked when I was 10, that I asked when I was 10 years old. How come the Bible seems to say this when science says this? And finally, after all these years, I feel like I've come to peace with science. Okay? So anyway, after the one of the aspects of the book that I've written is really a celebration of the fact that God has created something absolutely amazing and beautiful, but the essence of it all is that is the contrast between an agnostic but great science writer, Stephen Jay Gould, who believes that all that happened was just pure chance. And in the very end, he sits back and he says, play the tape of life again. In other words, give life a chance all over again and see what happens. And he says, we would never have humans. It's a tremendous improbability. So he says, I just simply celebrate the fact that we're this lucky group of individuals who are actually sentient and can actually sense that that there is have the intelligence. In contrast, I believe it was all part of God's plan all the way through, and in a magnificent plan it is that God would work with creation and through creation to finally bring us into existence and love us more than we can possibly imagine. However God did it, whether it was through the process of gradual change or snap of a finger, the amazing thing is that God loved us enough and worked through creation to bring us into being. I think that's one. In my book, I talk about the evidence for God having used evolution. There's a whole set of them. Genetics is certainly one of the most powerful. There's a whole set of pieces of genetic data that most people don't really know very much about. But if organisms are closely related to each other, then you can tell it by the genes. And in my book, I talk quite a lot about, and I try to do it in the best I can in language that is accessible to somebody who doesn't know anything about genes or DNA or anything like that. So I try to do it at that level. So genetics is for sure one. Fossil evidence and the existence of transitional organisms. Lots and lots of transitional organisms. Fossil data that shows that. There's other examples of biogeography that I talk about as well, which shows that organisms that are found in the same part of the world are closely related to each other. And there's evidence that shows that they're closely related to each other because they're in the same part of the world, and B, being in that same part of the world, they share a common ancestor. So I talk quite a lot about that as well. The data is just a whole set of experimental data that makes it pretty clear. That's why it is. It's foundational to biology. And almost all, it's not controversial in the world of biology. It's not controversial in the world of science. It's virtually all biologists, not quite, I realize, but virtually all biologists are virtually certain that the common ancestry is the story of the history of life.